Amen. Yes, all of his shortcomings, the things that he didn't overcome, mighty man of God, but he was forgiven. He cried out at last, Lord, avenge me of my eyes. I lost them. I was very foolish. But I want judgment now, and I'm willing to lay my life down for it.
Bro Mark?
Yes.
Okay, as you mentioned that Samson was part of the cloud of witnesses, I was expecting that you would just make progress to read chapter 12 also, verse 1.
Go ahead, brother. Seeing we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead and read it.
Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. So that speaks that he was part of the cloud of witnesses that just been mentioned above. Amen.
Amen. Yes, there were sins that easily beset Samson. But I believe he got the victory in the end. What do you think, Brother Daniel? Do you think he made it?
Yeah, he made it. What I really look at when we are speaking about the cloud of witness is that we got a little knowledge of what was in the cloud of witness before Jesus died on the cross. He was glorified in this cloud, and there was just two persons that God had placed there. But after Jesus died on the cross, there was many that rose up with him and became a part of the cloud of witness. And everyone that is born again after Jesus died on the cross, every single one of our brethren that have passed away, that have been born out of the Spirit, they are in the cloud of witness. But not only them, you are also there, because you are also part of the cloud of witness, even though you are walking here on earth. Because we have been giving a symbol of that when people went out of Egypt, they were baptized unto Moses and the cloud. It means that this cloud is a spirit of God. And they were led by this cloud in the day. And in the night time, it turned into a fire. And when we got the Spirit of God within our heart, he placed a part of this cloud within you, brothers. You are a part of this cloud. And everyone that is around us in this time that we are in now, we are surrounded every day, every minute, every hour in our life. We are surrounded with our brethren in the cloud. We are a member of the cloud. This is our place. And there is nothing, absolutely nothing in this world that can separate these things from one another. It's made by God himself. No one can change it. All our beautiful, beautiful brethren, they are with us. We are never alone. And in Ephesus, he says that he will tell us the mystery. And the mystery is that in a certain time, He will collect everything that is in Christ in heaven and in earth in one. It means that the veil between these things is going to be removed one day. And it's going to be moved in that same atmosphere as when Jesus was glorified in this cloud. His disciples that he took with them, the three disciples, they saw what was in the cloud. And it will come a time when you open up your eyes and you will see what is in the cloud. You will know that our brethren that is there. I looking forward to this time if I can sit down with Noah and he will tell me how he built the ark. I am excited to spend the time with him. I am even excited to speak to have a fellowship with Samson. Because the story of Samson is really something that is hitting your own life. Because the story of Samson is that he could not do it in his own strength. And you cannot do things in your own strength. In the beginning of our meeting, we were praying for certain things that was among us. There was something that came up in the life of in your life, brethren. Something that you could not handle. Something that you could not fix on your own. You cannot go through this in your strength. And it is not possible for you to go through these things on your own, in your strength. But you are going to go through it in another man's strength. And that is Jesus Christ. It's in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 13. And I think it's really good because I believe this is also a testimony of our brother Samson. Beautiful brother. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 13. But rejoice as much as they are partaker of Christ's suffering. When we are in Christ, the things that we go through, the suffering that hit us, it's not ours. It's his. And he is teaching us so beautiful things to be a partaker of his suffering. To allow him to give us strength to go through these things by his power and his authority, but not ours. We cannot do it. And he says of Christ's suffering that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. So when you go through this suffering in your life, you need to realize this is not yours suffering. You are a partaker of his. And when you are partaker of his, he know what you need because he went through this. And you ask him, oh my God, help me. And that hour when you cried to him, help me. Even before you realize it, he had answered you before. Because he is going to give you a strength, his strength, to go through these things. To put everything to him and trust him. And Samson, he's really a good picture for us to realize that when we go in the strength of the Spirit, nothing is impossible. Absolutely nothing. But what blessed me in this story that when he took the the bone of the what it's called,
Chaff.
the chaff bone. What really blessed me is that we need to look at why, what is he saying there? There was no flesh on that bone. We don't fight in our flesh. We don't use our flesh to fight. We use the strength from within. The kingdom of God comes within you. We don't fight with our fleshly nature. We fight with the strength of the innermost man, and our innermost strength is Christ. So bless you, brethren.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bless you, brother.
Good word.
I think Daniel is right in what he said, that Samson, his problem was his eyesight. He couldn't get there without the Lord, and the Lord took his eyesight. His eyesight brought him to the harlots, to what he saw a woman and wanted her. And that was his downfall, was his eyesight. And like a lot of men today, their eyesight is their downfall. By taking that away, God took it away from him. And his spirit was still in Samson right from the beginning. But Samson had issues, and that was taken away, and that's when Samson could then come back to the Lord. And he did.
Yes, I want to speak about this, the eyesight and the problem. First of all, we as Christians have the three weapons that we use, that we have in God. There's three of them. According to the scriptures, 1 John 5, it says we use the blood, the spirit, and the water of the word. Those are our three weapons. But Satan has three weapons that he uses too. One is fear. And you don't see that in Samson. He feared nothing. The second and the greatest weapon, I believe, that that Satan uses is deception. Okay? And really, Samson was not deceived. He knew what was, he knew what he was doing, from the get-go. He made conscious choices, and he wasn't deceived. But the third weapon that Satan uses is seduction. And again, going back to 1 John chapter 2, it says that we are taken by the lust of the eyes, which is what we're talking about, the lust of the flesh, that which our eyes lust after, our flesh must have, and the pride of life. And we see in Samson, not fear, not deception, but it was the lust. In that verse that, I think it's verse 9, that Mark read about, it says that she made Samson. Now here's a great man of strength, right? But she made Samson sleep on her knees. And then she caused or made Samson to cut off the locks of his hair. So she was in control of him, the great man of strength, and yet she was controlling him. So it was all about seduction. And you are right, Howard, when you say that this is a problem that men have. The lust, we see this with David too, the lust of the eyes leading you down this path of sin, which caused the downfall of Samson. And yet God was so good to him in the end that he remembered Samson. And this is how good our God is, you know, that he is a forgiving God, and all you have to do is cry out to him, and he remembers you. Amen.
I've got just a couple quick things to say concerning the jawbone of the ass. Mark said something like, why did he use a jawbone? Now, remember, everything that happened back there in the Bible, all those Bible stories, it's a working out of what is going to happen. It's like God's play, God's revealing his spiritual plan through all these things that happened. Okay. So if we go back to the book of Leviticus, it says the firstling of an ass must be redeemed by a lamb, or the neck of the ass must be broken. So let me put that in layman's terms. The ass has to be redeemed by a lamb, or the ass is lost. Who does that make the ass? Us. We're the ass in Scripture, which is very fitting because an ass is known for his stubbornness. So this jawbone of the ass that slayed the enemy is going to be us with the words of our mouth. So that's why he had to use the jawbone. And it's going to come from us, and from our mouths is the way we're going to destroy this enemy. And then also, you know, everything we have to decipher what it means in the spirit. So Samson's hair was his covering. That's where his strength came from. Do you think it's going to do us any good to grow our hair long? Is that going to give us the strength of God? It's just an example of the covering. Samson's covering was Christ. That's what our covering has to be too. And then I thought about Delilah. What was Delilah after? Okay, trying to get Samson to reveal his strength. What was Delilah after? I was thinking about it. And I was thinking she was after money, which it says she was. And I thought about, oh, the church. You know, woman is the church. So the church is after money. You understand, even some of the preachers, they want to know what you paid for with blood, sweat, and tears in your life. They want spiritual understanding that they can spin and make money off of it in the church. I hadn't really seen that before, and I saw it today. And then another thing that really stuck out to me today was one word. I never noticed it before. But when Mark was reading about when they finally got Samson captured and they brought him in there, and the Philistines said, oh, we finally have been delivered of the enemy that's been destroying our country. And when I heard that word country, I just thought of, do you know that's what's happening to us right now? Our country is being destroyed by the Philistines. All the things that's going on in our country, it's being destroyed by all this democratic thinking and demonized understanding and blah, blah, blah. You know, anyway, when I heard that word country today, I never saw that and thought about that before. So anyway, that's it from me today. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Mike, do you know where in Leviticus that verse is?
No, I don't, but I know Leviticus is kind of describing the law. It's a bunch of stuff that's kind of hard to understand, but it should be real easy to find. Like if you just, do you have Siri on your phone? Just say the scripture for an ass must be redeemed by the lamb, and it'll pull up the scripture for you. There, Howard's doing it right now. He'll have it in a second.
But I, Mark, I like this name that you gave Philistine, hillbillies.
Hillbillies.
I'm going to use this. Be aware of the hillbillies.
Exodus 13:13.
It wasn't Leviticus. I was almost sure it was Leviticus. Maybe it's in another place, but I'll check it out later.
Amen. Daniel, you've never heard the term hillbillies? Oh, that's an old term before redneck. That's when I was very young. They were hillbillies.
Daniel must have never seen the Beverly Hillbillies on TV, huh?
Yeah. Yes, I saw it. Yeah, but it's a good name. I think it should be translated hillbillies in our Bible.
Well, in the South, you know, in Texas and all that, they have rednecks.
Right.
But up here in the northern woods of New York, we have what we call woodchucks. He's just a woodchuck, you know, just lives out there in the woods. And
you made me laugh, Mark, when you said that. It's been a long time since I heard you say the word woodchuck. So
well, the woodchuck from Pennsylvania is the one that predicts the weather. They call him the groundhog, but when we're referring to men, we say woodchuck. Philistine, yeah, we don't use it's mostly in the high class literature that they use that word Philistine. Most people don't even know that it has that other meaning to it. Well, praise the Lord. We've had a good time here. Who didn't give a word here yet that has something to share?
Hello, just to add that the scripture there said that in his death, he killed more of the enemies than when he was alive. So as we look at ourselves, is as we die and we are dead to self, that is when we will see more of the things that are in our lives go down and will become more and more like Christ. Praise God.
Amen. I have just one more thing that I forgot to say, that I'll say it now, is when Samson took the gates, he took the gates of hell. And Jesus said to Peter in Matthew 6,
"16, you mean?" Matthew 16.
Yes. "And Simon Peter answered, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, Thou art, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it to me, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, the gates of hell are going to try, but they're not going to prevail. They're not going to last. And that means that the church, Peter, thou art the church. That word represents the rock, the church. You're going to prevail against the gates of hell. Now, I don't know what you think of the term, the gates of hell. There's two things that you can say about gates. Number one is the gate in the old times was the seat of government. When Boaz wanted to settle the issue of Ruth, he went to the gate of the city, and whatever was settled in the gate was the law. It was the source of authority. So the gate of hell can be seen as Satan's source of power and authority. And the church is going to tear that down, just in the same manner that what could have been a little man, Samson, pulled those posts and gates up and carried them 40 miles away. Amen. Dumped them there. I don't know how they ever got them back or if they ever did. But he destroyed the gates of hell. That's all I had to add.
But in truth, it wasn't Samson. It was Christ.
It was, which is why Samson is a type of Christ.
There you go.
Which I said last week. Well, Larry.
It's amazing. It's amazing to really read through the story and see all these people that is around Samson and realize the strength that he is working in. And they still want to mess with him. It's for me, it's quite stupid, you know. I had a father. He was one of the strongest men in Iceland. I heard many stories about how strong he was, but I never saw it. But one day I saw his strength. I had a big motor, American car motor in my garage. It was over 700 pounds. And he needed to come into the garage and use it. And we were four persons that took that motor down from car to the floor. And there was a rope around this motor. And my father, he took grip of this rope, and he lifted this motor with one hand. And it was over 700 pounds. And from that day, I made up my mind, I'm going to agree with everything that my father says. I'm not going to mess with him.
Amen.
I grow up that... The police came home in the weekend to get my father and put him into a uniform and put him into the door of the place where all the people were coming together and having a good time. So he was a doorman there, doorkeeper. And he was the only man that they could use in the door because no one went through him. He just stood still and he just, no one could put him away to go in. Then the police master came and said, it's have been too much people coming in. You are not going to allow one more person go in. And then the police man, he wanted to go in and just check it. And my father stopped him and said, you gave me order that no one should come in more. So they used him as a doorkeeper because no one could move him. Well, so he was strong, and he was even strong that day he died. He was just muscle. There was no fat on his body. It was just muscle. So I sometimes look at picture of him and ask myself, where did I come from?
Daniel, today they would, in America, that he would be called the bouncer.
Yeah.
The bar has a bouncer, big man at the door. And if anybody gives trouble, the bouncer bounces them out.
Yes.
Well, you're a big, strong man, aren't you, Daniel?
I'm a strong enough, but I never use it. But I'm not big man either.
He's much stronger than he looks to be. he has got something from his father.
Yeah.
He maybe couldn't lift the same as his father. I don't know that, but he is taking things that no one would think he can do. And he's always surprised about how this young man in our family have no power. So he's stronger than he looks like.
Yeah, no, that's what I feel too. That he's a big, strong man, you know.
Yeah, but it's even not helping us really.